Corporation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
Yes, sir, we promised you a great...
Gorgeous, George.
Here Pretty Blassie, the maker of...
Andre, the Giant.
WrestleMania.
Everyone has a
place. Ladies and gentlemen, it is electric.
WrestleMania.
You are fucking...
Welcome to the No Disqualifications Podcast. I'm Adrian.
I'm Laszlo.
And we are back once again. No rules, no filters.
No disqualifications.
Boom. Shaka-laka. So look, we got an announcement for you all. I'm sure you guys are so excited to hear about it. We've also looked at some of our analytics here, and I know we have a lot of people listening from New Jersey.
Jersey, stand up.
Okay. We also have people listening from West Virginia, Virginia,
Germany?
Texas, Germany. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, I know, like, what kind of niche are we hitting there?
Niche, like the philosopher.
Yeah.
Exactly. He was German.
That's exactly what I was saying.
I know. That's why I said it.
Also, people in Tennessee are listening. Shout out to Knoxville. Hold it down.
Stand up. Woo, woo.
We have people in Hermitage. We have people in Nashville. Speaking of Nashville, come July 30th.
What's going on down there?
We're going to SummerSlam, baby.
SummerSlam. My first one. I can't wait.
So we're spending our whole weekend in Nashville. We're going to live it up. We're going to go to all the places. We're going to get the hot chicken. We're going to go to Hattie B's hot chicken. Prince's hot chicken.
We're going to eat some waffles and chicken.
We're going to live it up.
Nashville, where you at? Nashville, if we got any Nashville.
If you're a Nashville listener, make sure you hit us up and make sure you follow us on the Twitter, pod_DQ. Make sure you hit us up on all of our socials.
TikTok.
Make sure. Also, if you're listening to this right now, make sure you leave us a 5-star on Apple Podcast. Now, you can actually get 5 stars. You can rate us a 5-star on Spotify as well. While we're looking deep into our analytics, we realize that most people listen to us on other platforms rather than Spotify, but... No matter where you listen to us, make sure you leave us a review, a nice review. Say good things about us. You might notice my voice is a little rickety. Hoarse, yes.
A little hoarse.
Hoarse as if it's a Seabiscuit and Mr. Ed.
Your voice is a pony.
Because I had an abscess tooth. So.
And people are like, Adrian, how will that lead to a raspy throat?
Coughing.
Gotcha.
That's really all. When you have an abscess, the bacteria and fluid drains. And it just happens to drain down your throat.
That's what got Blair Adams here in Knoxville back in 1994.
I heard a podcast about that. It's called The Truly Morbid Podcast.
Truly Morbid Podcast.
Make sure you listen to that and find out what happened to him.
Smart guys.
Smart guys.
Fantastic looking. I mean,
10 out of 10.
All the way.
I heard they're pushing pee.
I don't know what that means, but I got the thing on TikTok where it said pee above my head, so apparently I am pushing it.
You are indeed. Speaking of pushing pee, SummerSlam 2000.
SummerSlam 2000, but first,
we need to talk about.
Do we got to talk about something? I think we do.
We'll give a small news break. We don't do this often, but why not?
It's our podcast. Important.
Let's do a little news break instead of dedicating a whole episode to it. Sasha Banks and Naomi a few weeks ago left a Monday Night Raw. Multiple reports.
Walked out of the building.
I'll give the most reported account of what happened.
Please.
The main event was going to be Naomi, Nikki, ASH, Doudrop, Becky, Asuka, and Sasha.
So it's like a Royal Rumble.
Six-pack challenge to see who was going to face Bianca Belair at Hell in a Cell. Reports were that Naomi was going to pin Nikki, and she was going to face Bianca at Hell in a Cell, and Sasha would end up facing Ronda Rousey at Hell in a Cell.
See, those are good matches.
But neither of those women would win. And
why not?
They were just going to put them over. And then they weren't going to defend the women's championship, the women's tag team championships at Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
So the reports say they were frustrated about this. They told Vince they didn't want to do it. They want to change it. Sorry.
Excuse me.
Vince didn't want to change it. Vince was like, look, this is what we're doing.
This is good stuff.
They went to John Laurinaitis' office. They put their tag titles down, and they walked out of the building.
Damn.
Those are the reports as of right now. WWE released a report later that day saying, hey, look, we're sorry. I know some people paid to see them. They were unprofessional, and they walked out.
That's true.
That's what they reported. And then on this previous SmackDown, they reported that they were both indefinitely suspended. And
which means that you're going to get fired.
Yeah.
If you don't play ball, you're fired.
They've taken Sasha and Naomi's merch off the websites.
I didn't know all that.
They've taken them out of the openings for the shows.
Damn.
So
they edited their faces off.
So it looks like they're done. The issue, the internet's been divided on it. Are you pro Sasha and pro Naomi for standing up for what you believe in? Or do you think it's unprofessional to walk out? I'm in the realm of I am a fan of both of them. I don't think you walk out on a show. I mean, people have had less, you know, they've had horrible gimmicks and horrible things they've had to do, and they've made it work. I think losing to Ronda Rousey and losing to Bianca Belair isn't the worst thing you
could
be
the worst.
Do.
There could be worse things.
Could be worse things you could do. I get that they want to defend the women's championships, but they had been featured weekly. So, I mean, it's not like they were taken off TV. All around a bad situation.
Facts.
I would have liked to see them at SummerSlam. I will say this isn't the first time Sasha's walked out because she's complained about something.
Oh, it's not.
At WrestleMania 35, they lost women's tag titles, and Sasha was not seen for like 6 months. She supposedly was on the floor crying and left.
Really?
Because she was upset that they lost the titles, and she thinks that they shouldn't have, and she left.
Wow.
Bayley, however, came back to work. So, I mean, it is what it is. But reports
Bayley, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
She's been out with ACL tear.
That's why.
But okay. Reports are still coming out. So hopefully by the next time we record next week, we'll have more information for you.
This may have been an impromptu thing. The show must go on. This is an entertainment business. You're in the business for the fans.
Yeah.
And you gotta do what they say. A lot of performers in music. They likened the tour bus to a slave ship. I'm not making this up. I'm not, like they said, this is like, yo, when everybody's partying and having a great time, you're working.
Yeah.
You're at work. That's why, and it's almost the same as being a rock star, being in the WWE.
Yeah.
Where, so was it professional? Nah. It was pretty unprofessional for them to do what they did. But, then again, standing up for your beliefs, standing up for what you think, your
passion,
your reputation.
Yeah.
Standing up, like I'm not losing to her. Why? But, you know, I get it. But the show must go on. You're contracted to do a job, and your job might be having to get pinned by someone who shouldn't be.
And you know, it's also, I mean, wrestlers have done this before. CM Punk's walked away where he was under contract. Stone Cold's walked away before. He was booked to wrestle Brock Lesnar, and
Stone Cold.
And he was booked to lose to Brock Lesnar. And he said, "I'm not going to lose to somebody if there's no story." And he went home, and he said he regrets that. Him and Vince took a long time for them to fix that.
Yeah, Stone Cold and Brock Lesnar had a long conversation on the Broken Skull podcast.
Yeah,
Broken Skull sessions with Stone Cold. Which was a great episode.
And you got to think here, and we'll wrap this up. And I think weekly we could do a little news break on what's going on currently in the world here, as far as the wrestling world. But you got to look at it this way. Sasha's extremely talented. Naomi's extremely talented. Wherever they land, they will
land on their feet.
They will.
Or they'll get pinned because that's part of the story.
There's something that John Cena said on the Howard Stern show because Vince McMahon owns John Cena's name.
And all this.
But this is what John Cena said. "I don't care to cut a percentage to Vince McMahon who gave me my start. Everything that I have now is because of him. I don't care to cut a percentage off to this man. It's okay. I'll be fine. He's taking care of me. I don't care to take care of the company that's taking care of me." This is where I get down to it. People on Twitter and everything have said Sasha Banks is a movie star. She's in The Mandalorian, all that kind of stuff. With all respect to her, that Sasha Banks is not in these positions without being there. It's just a fact. WWE gave her a lot of opportunities. She's earned them. Sometimes it goes back to biting the hand that feeds you.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of opportunities. She could go to Impact. She could go to AEW. There's a lot of places out there you can go and perform. But WWE is a different system. That being said, story is developing.
Okay.
Now, SummerSlam 2000. We are going to cover SummerSlam every week. Maybe two a week. We'll see what happens. Depends on if I'm with Laz, if I'm with Tay.
Sugar Shavante. We'll say
Sugar Shavante. But we are going to cover a SummerSlam leading up to our SummerSlam 2022.
We're going to vlog that?
We're going to vlog the SummerSlam. And we might, when we get back to the hotel, drop a podcast because we're live in living color. That'd be the first ever live podcast we've done. So we'll see what happens. But SummerSlam 2000, August 27, 2000, Raleigh, North Carolina, the Raleigh Entertainment Sports Center. This is the attendance of 17,002 with a buy rate of 570,000. Of course, jeez. SummerSlam is known as the biggest party of the summer.
By wrestling fans.
By wrestling fans, yes.
Of course.
Now let's slide right into the first match tonight. We have Right to Censor going head-to-head with Too Cool. Right to Censor, of course, is Bull Buchanan, The Good Father, and Stevie Richards. Versus Too Cool, which is Rikishi, Grandmaster Sexe, and Scotty Too Hotty.
Worm.
Rikishi lays the hurt in right away. Of course, he's kind of run through as a powerhouse. Scotty Too Hotty gets a little bit of offense in, but everything goes in the way of Right to Censor after The Good Father beats down some of those hoes. he's fighting Scotty Too Hotty on the outside. He's fighting Grandmaster Sexy on the outside.
Godfather went over the ring, went over the ropes twice.
Yeah, he
went over the top rope twice.
And while he's on the outside, the hoes come up to him. He just throws him down.
Yeah, he does. Puts a hurt on him.
Classic pimp fashion. He hits some hoes.
That's right.
Superplex off the top rope to Steven Richards. Too Cool runs a train on Right to Censor. I know what you're thinking. What does that mean? Well, they're all three lined up in the corner, and they each take turns running ass first.
First they get their asses patted.
Yeah, they definitely pat those asses.
He does. Rikishi pats each of their asses each time.
And then after everyone's had their train ran, Steven Richards super kicks Sky Too Hotty when he goes for the worm for the win. I give this match 2 bells.
That's what I gave it. I also gave it 2 bells. straight up, first off, right off the bat, the fashion diss, the Right to Censor, we may as well call them the Mormons, which is why I asked you if you knew if like black people were allowed to be Mormons. Apparently they were, not openly until like the late 80s, but I did a little searching. Fashion diss, the white shirts, the white ties, the black pants, the white shirt, black tie, black pants, boys a time bomb, you know, not feeling that. Rikishi's wearing a thong.
He is.
And like they do the close up on his butt, right? When he runs and does the butt bump into whatever they call those that.
Dimples.
Those dimples. Yeah, that's cottage cheese. That's cellulite, my guy. It's not, it's gross. It's gross. Sorry, no fat phobia. I dig fat chicks. It's okay.
okay.
But they get a fashion diss. There was a botch, Right to Censor. What were the guys' names in Right to Censor?
Steven Richards, Bull Buchanan.
Bull Buchanan.
And The Good Father.
Bull Buchanan does a little, what's supposed to be, I think, like a leg drop, but only his foot really connects with the back of Rikishi's head. And he eats it after botching his leg drop. It looked pretty bad. For that reason, I gave this match 2 bells.
Okay. Next here we have the Road Dog, Jesse James. He comes out. Oh, you didn't know. Now. Yo ass better call somebody. That's what, you know.
This is versus
X-Pac.
China's lover.
China, yes. Who you hear the crowd boo extremely.
I thought he was over. I really did.
He has what they call X-Pac. X-Pac, he means we're not booing you because we don't like booing because we want you to go away. You would think, but it's not like, oh yeah, it's fun to boo this guy. It's like, we don't want to see you.
Why? He's talented.
We want you dead.
Physically, he's talented.
But he's annoying.
He's a what?
He's annoying. And that's the fans actually hated X-Pac. Like, they really hated him.
Really?
He's the equivalent of, man, I'm trying to think of someone you could put on TV and you'd really hate, you just don't want to see.
Amber Heard.
Yeah. Amber Heard heat.
He had Amber Heard heat?
Yeah.
So he shit the bed. Yes.
On multiple occasions. Road Dogg reverses the kick into a clothesline. X-Pac goes for the Bronco Buster, but Road Dogg avoids the taint. X-Pac gets in a sleeper on Road Dogg. Now, there's not a whole lot going on here until Road Dogg tries to pump handle slam in. And when he's trying to lock in that pump handle slam, X-Pac swings his leg, low blows him, then hits the X-Factor for the win.
That's right. And gets the pin.
After the match, they go to shake hands. Road Dogg bends him over.
Does a little humping.
Yeah, he gives it to him. And then he hits him with a pump handle slam and leaves. I gave this one 2 bells as well.
This was an enjoyable match. This was a lot of back and forth. X-Pac, like Tupac, but only it's X. So it should be 10-Pac because Roman numerals. Anyway, 10-Pac, he is a talented little fighter. He's doing his spinning heel kicks.
Mm-hmm.
At one point gets on top, has Road Dogg face down, and he does the thing where he gets on top and spins all around on him.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of strength to do that in Hell Room one time. Like, there's that one, you know, that one bag that has the,
yeah,
like, that's like what that bag's for, is for spinning around on your chest and kicking your legs up and sliding around. Speak of the devil. That's a heck of a workout. It's not an easy move to pull off. I gave this one 3 bells. Adrian here has said you weren't watching. Did you see what just happened? And then he pulled up the very end. Where he anally piped him, and well, you know, not literally. It just like looked like it.
It's 2 for me.
It's 3 for me. It was a good match. It might have gone lower if I had paid attention all the way through and seen the reversal of fortune and the butt pumping.
I will also make sure that we keep up with our death count. And so far, to the second match of the night, Grandmaster Sexay is the only one that is dead. Of course, that is a crime case that may be looked at in another podcast.
One that's like truly morbid.
The death of Brian Christopher. Nonetheless, third match of the night here, we have China, who's also dead, and that's 2. And Eddie Guerrero, who's also dead, that's 3. Versus Trish Stratus and Val Venus for the Intercontinental Championship. This is whoever gets the pinfall is the Intercontinental Champion. So Val Venus's whole strategy here is to keep Trish out of the ring because she's the weak link, obviously.
She is. I mean, compared
Eddie Guerrero,
to China,
Eddie Guerrero says to China, Mamacita, it does not matter who wins, as long as if you win, we both win out of that.
Hey, give me some tortillas for my guacamole.
Essay. Eddie gets grounded after a few hurricanrana attempts. Eddie suckers Val Venus into a clothesline from China, which was kind of cool. Like Val Venus goes to kick Eddie, and Eddie grabs his foot. And he's like, no, you can't. Valby's trying to hit him.
That's right.
And he spins him around, and China just layers him with a clothesline, which is pretty dope there.
Yeah.
China and Eddie hit a double flapjack to Val Venus.
Oh, great.
Val then isolates China until China hits a low blow and then to DDT, and there's the hot tag to Eddie. Eddie hits a hurricanrana from the top rope, but he goes for another one and is powerbombed by Val Venus. Val is taken out by Eddie when he tries to run back into the ring. China hits Trish Stratus with the military press for the win, and she is the new Intercontinental Champion. Your thoughts, sir?
China was actually good. China could go. I'm sorry, and of course, Trish looks fantastic. She's not a wrestler. You could tell just by looking at a woman. For the most part, you can see who's the fighter and who's the lover. Trish is the lover. She's the type that would give a homeless guy money. China would say, get a job, loser, or whatever. I don't know what she would say, but I get the feeling. China was putting moves on. China was being athletic. China threw around little Trish for a minute. Dude, China was good. I thought she was like a freak show, which she was because of her size and her build. But,
yeah.
Dude, what a wrestler. What a match. 4 bells.
They gave it three.
That's fair.
But nonetheless, good match. I agree, yeah.
It was a good match.
And compared to this next match, it's the best. Really match. Good, yeah. Taz versus Jerry the King Lawler. Taz comes out mocking JR's Bell's palsy.
I had to interrupt it and say, why is he doing this with the blind cane and the glasses? What's going on here? And then I saw the cowboy hat. I should have put two and two together, but I didn't.
While he's doing that, Lawler hits a clothesline, throws him in the ring. Lawler hits like six or seven clotheslines and like hits like eight fist drops. Like Taz is getting his ass beat.
Yeah.
And then literally, like, out of nowhere, Taz hits a few clotheslines, rakes his eye, puts him in the Taz mission. And then JR walks over with a jar of candy.
And smashes it over
his head.
Yeah.
And then Jerry Lawler pins him. Like, we ran through this match pretty quick. That's what happened.
That is what happened. That's
It was like a 4-minute match.
And Taz holds a special place in my heart. No joke. Little guy who, like, paid his dues.
LGBT. Little Guido bitch Taz. It's a tradition here on the podcast.
Did Tay make that up?
Tay did make that up, yeah.
Tay's the man, bro. Guido bitch
Taz. I hope he never hears that.
Two bells.
I gave it two as well.
It wasn't a good match, but then again, Jerry the King Lawler was 20 years removed from the ring.
At that time, Jerry 15. Lawler was, man, what year are we in? 2022. So 22 years ago, Jerry Lawler was 50 years old.
Oh, he's an old man.
He is an old man. Married multiple times too. Next match here, we have Steve Blackman.
Who's a white guy, which is weird.
Is that the weird part?
No.
We have Steve Blackman, and you know what the funny thing is? I didn't take any notes on this. We have Steve Blackman versus Shane McMahon in a hardcore match for the Hardcore Championship.
Shane is hardcore. You see Shane, you know something's about to pop off. That's how it is. There's going to be kempo sticks. There's going to be big dives. There's going to be interference from the backstage, which is all of these things happen.
Par for the course.
All of these things happen in this match. This was a classic match. This is a classic Shane match. If you look up the greatest Shane dives, this is probably the highest one he's ever done.
I would say so.
I mean, there's the one off the cage. This is going to say 10 feet higher. Homeboy did it anyway. I mean, like, dude's got.
Why don't you run through it for us? Kind of give us a quick little play-by-play for it.
Okay, Shane comes out and he's playing the rich spoiled kid's role. He's like, he doesn't want to get in the ring as long as he has the Kempo stick. And then Steve Blackman has his attention diverted, of course. So he jumps in and grabs the stick, but Steve sees it, and they start jostling over the stick. A little back and forth of Shane getting his ass beat. And then Prince Albert and Test.
Mm-hmm. Test is dead. Can you continue?
Is Prince Albert still alive?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They go. Monkeypox. Sorry. Omicron variant. They come out and run interference by putting the boots to Steve Blackman's face.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets out of it. But at this point, Shane's retreated into the crowd. Steve Blackman was like, not today, son. Runs out with a garbage can and just proceeds to bash the living hell out of Shane with the trash can in the crowd. I couldn't imagine. I hope something like that happens and they come right by us.
It'd be so good, wouldn't it?
So dope. Then Shane finds some scaffolding. He starts climbing up it. Steve Blackman follows. Shane's dodging the Kempo stick, and then eventually Shane gets about as high as he can go. He's like, no. And then Steve Blackman taps him in the back with a stick, and Shane goes, oh, that did it. Straw that broke the camel's back. And they kept saying 50, 75 feet. They don't know what basketball hoops are, because if you count basketball hoops, 35?
Probably 35.
Maybe 40 feet.
And
it was a good bump. I'm not gonna.
From one camera angle, you're like, this kid's dead.
Yeah, but then from the other
one, it's like, sky angle, you're like, okay.
I could do that. Like, I could do that.
I wouldn't want to,
but it's.
But I could do it.
Even if you wouldn't die, you might get messed up, but you ain't gonna die if that happens.
Of course, I guess you have to look at the internal things. I'm sure, like, break a rib doing that or something.
There's something, hip.
Yeah.
You know, maybe rupture a spleen. Who knows? Anywho,
Steve Blackman follows him back down.
And so it climbs down and does what I got. I want to call that elbow drop.
Yep.
And it does an elbow drop and gets the pin for the win.
I give it four.
I like this. This is wrestling. This is wrestling for me, bro. I like this is my favorite wrestler of all time. I'm not going to say his name. God rest his soul. Is a trash can wrestler in that he literally would drag a trash can full of weapons into the ring.
I wonder who it could be.
There's nothing like it. It's like Nino Brown in you know in the city. You know who was a drug dealer and he shot Chris Rock who was Pookie. You know what I mean? It's like what's going on here. You know, Ice-T was a cop, you know, and he was like, nah, I should have killed you myself, bitch. Like, that was just like, that's, Ice-T can't act. He is a character, not even a character. He just has to stand there and say, you're under arrest, sucker, or whatever it is he says. I remember once I was watching, it was on TV in the break room at my work, and someone hands him a letter and he goes, well, thanks for letting me know. It's like, is that how the cop would have said that? And thanks for letting me know. Yeah, like, you really can't. Anyway, five bells. That dive alone. I mean, if you do a search on wrestling's greatest dives,
yeah,
that's in the top five. It's not. I mean, it's got maybe top three. Like, seriously, the dude could have killed himself. And, like, moral of the story, you see Shane McMahon walk out, you're like, something's about to happen.
Yeah.
He's going to get thrown through a plate glass, a real piece of plate glass by Kurt Angle, and land on his neck when it doesn't break the first time, like land on his neck. Shane McMahon is the man. I'm sorry. I love that dude. Okay. So that's all. That was my segment of the No Disqualification podcast. Thank you for listening. Adrian, continue, please.
Yeah, I gave it a 4 out of 5 bells. I thought it was pretty fantastic. It was a time capsule of a match you wouldn't see again, but it was fantastic to see Shane take that kind of bump. You really forget just how wild things used to be 22 years ago.
Don't say it like that, bro. God.
Nonetheless, we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor. What a sponsor.
What a great sponsor.
Beautiful angelic voice.
Orgasmic.
Okay, well, I wasn't going to go that far, but I see what you're doing there.
I took it there.
Okay.
I take it.
Next match.
I'm going to go with Godfrey in this podcast.
Well, so you're dead. This match is a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Speaking of dead.
Yeah. Chris Benoit, he's added to the death list.
Chris Benoit. I don't like my family. Benoit.
He's such a bitch. And Chris Jericho. In a 2 out of 3 falls match. Now, in the beginning of this match, they brawl for a little bit.
This is true.
Jericho goes for the lion salt. Benoit counters that and immediately puts him in the crippler crossface.
And taps, yeah, like almost immediately.
We talked about this when we were talking about Extreme Rules 2012. In 2 out of 3 falls matches, there is like psychology to it. If you're in putting the submission in the beginning of the match, tap early. You take the fall to keep yourself from from taking on that damage that early on.
Right.
Some people do there's a lot of ways to go about the format of the 2 out of 3. Sometimes they do the whole, the heel will run up on the face and like hit him with a chair, taking the early disqualification, but he can still, you know, pin him and
he's still fresh.
Yeah.
And at least he didn't get hit with a chair.
Exactly. So Benoit is the first fall. Benoit is the advantage. He hits a few belly to bellies.
So after they ring the bell for the first fall, Chris Benoit doesn't let go at first.
No, he doesn't.
It's like he's homicidal or something. What's going on there?
I don't know. We'll find out. He hits a few belly to belly suplexes. Jericho counters one of those into the walls of Jericho, forcing Benoit to submit. And then this is where it's one fall each. And both of them are starting to share offenses, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Jericho goes for a cradle. Benoit counters the cradle, grabs the ropes for the third fall and the win.
And it shouldn't have been the third fall.
It shouldn't have been, but he cheated to win. Nonetheless, it keeps Jericho from looking weak.
And Benoit was way over at this point.
Yeah.
He was over at this point. So
both people end up coming out of this match as equals. This is the best way to book a 2 out of 3 falls match if you don't want any of them to kind of – you don't want to put anyone over anybody else.
Yeah.
One fall each, and then one person cheats to win the last fall. Both people come out kind of equal.
That's true.
Jericho looks like the resilient baby face. Benoit looks like the dickhead heel.
But people love them. People love them.
Because of the work rate.
Except for his family.
Yeah. I gave this match 4 bells.
I also gave it 4 bells. It was a good match.
Obviously, this isn't the best Jericho-Benoit match. That would be the ladder match that we watched.
That was a 5-bell.
But nonetheless, it was a very good match.
It was a great match. That's I hate to admit it. Especially since Chris Benoit was
in a bitch, yeah.
Piece of shit.
Next up here, we have the Triple Threat TLC match. This is the first ever Triple Threat TLC match.
Tag team title.
Triple Threat, tag title, titty match.
Three T's.
Edge and Christian. Dudley boys. Hardys. Edge and Christian bring the chairs. Dudley brings the tables. Hardys bring the ladders. Edge and Christian bring in the...
Oh, I bit my tongue.
Edge and Christian bring in the chairs. And both the Dudleys and the Hardys get beat down with these chairs.
With said chairs.
There's a nice spot here where, like, Matt Hardy throws a chair at Bubba while he's in the corner. And then he sets the chair up. And Jeff goes to jump off the chair to hit Bubba. And then Bubba throws the chair at Jeff midair.
Splatting.
Bubba's powerbombed off the ladder.
Yeah, dude.
Which is actually pretty dope. By the Hardys. There's a bubble bomb to Christian, which is full Nelson, jumps off, both tailbones shooting through the back of their necks.
Ouch.
Wonder
how many times these guys have broken their tailbones.
Jeff Hardy hasn't broken anything except for a wrist.
Wow, so dirt biking.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. You should have broken every bone.
At least twice.
Yeah.
They hit the what's up.
Which is a flying headbutt to your groin.
Yeah, off the top of the ladder, which the crowd popped huge for that.
Yeah, and then right after that, Dudley gets the crazy eye and says, T-Von,
what?
Get the table!
Tables are pulled out. They acquire them. They set them up. And
I popped.
They hit the 3D to Christian through the table.
I popped for that, bro. I was like, let's go!
Edge breaks things up with a few chair shots, and Matt hits a twist of fate. Both Hardys hit the leg drops off the ladder. Matt jumps off the ladder to hit the leg drop. Jeff leapfrogs the ladder to hit the leg drop.
It was stupid.
It does nothing.
It does nothing. Maybe it gives him some height.
It looks cool, I guess.
Jeff
goes to Swanton on Bubba outside the ring through two tables, but Bubba gets up, and Jeff goes to those tables solo dolo. So Jeff is dead for a little bit.
Yeah.
Bubba sent out the ring through 4 tables.
Three.
He didn't break the bottom one.
Went through 3 tables.
And then Matt is sent through 2 tables on the other side of the ring. Lita comes out. She gets speared and almost cracks her head open on the ladder.
Her head still kisses that concrete, something fierce, to where Edge says, sorry. You can tell he whispered something to her like, oops, my bad. And she missed.
Hey, in 4 years, we're gonna hook up and you're going to screw Matt over.
That's right.
A little insider baseball.
Her head missed the ladder by like 4 or 5 inches. She could have really cracked her stuff open and needed stitches.
Got lucky she didn't.
Yeah.
Both Jeff and D-Von are both hanging from the belts. And I read something where they're both up there and supposedly D-Von was not wanting to drop because D-Von's actually scared of heights. And Jeff is like, we're going. And D-Von's like, no. So, when Jeff, kicks him that one time and D-Von falls and damn near breaks his collarbone.
That was for real?
Yeah, he was falling for it. And then Jeff, of course, gets hit with a ladder and kind of ragdolls down like he always does.
Lands on his face.
Then Edge and Christian set the ladders up and get the tag titles. I gave this match.
I gave this match 5 bells.
5 bells.
Welcome to the 5-bell Hall of Fame.
Stay in the Hall of Fame.
Everybody gonna know your name. That's probably not even the words.
Ooh, ooh, aren't you glad I came? Ooh, ooh. Yep. Welcome. Welcome to the illustrious Hall of Fame.
Welcome to the Notice Qualifications Podcast.
We go from that 5-bell match right there, that banger, to the Cat versus Terry in a Stink Face match, Really, really bad wrestling leading to Terry eating ass. Cat wins.
One belt.
Next.
Dude, I'm sorry. I do not align myself with feminists. I don't consider myself a feminist. I understand what they're talking about back in 2000 when they saw this was the turn of the millennium, and there are like it was a bra and panties match, dude.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing, and Al Snow definitely groped one of the girls getting thrown in there. I saw it.
We've come far.
We really have. I'll take Bailey any day over that.
Yeah.
A Bailey Sasha match or a Ronda Charlotte match even. I know you love Charlotte.
But yeah, I love her so much. Great.
One bell. Kat versus Terry next.
We have The Undertaker, or as you like to say.
The Underwhelmer.
Versus Kane. For the match, Kane attacks The Undertaker on the ring aisle. They tried to attack him with the steel steps. Taker moves, avoids the attacks. Kane hits a low blow on the Undertaker, and then the Undertaker goes wild, hits him with steel steps, starts beating him down. He spears him, and then he rips off Kane's mask, and Kane leaves.
That's that.
And the Undertaker wins, I guess.
I guess.
I gave it two.
Two. I also gave it two. My goodness.
It's just like, what the hell?
It's something to see 14 feet and 700 pounds worth of man,
yeah,
and just two dudes in the ring. That's something, I guess, if you want to call it a Haas match. But Kane got his ass beat the entire time.
They could have done something.
They could have.
But he removes his mask. Kane leaves.
But this is the American. This is the American badass. I like where it got dark and went dong. That Undertaker gave me goosebumps whenever it came out, even though he sucked. Like that walkout and just like the demonic personality, it was badass. Is that what it was?
This though.
This was whack.
Not that.
Nope.
And our main event, Triple H versus The Rock versus Kurt Angle. For the WWF Championship. So here's the thing.
Tell us the thing.
The Rock isn't in this match for like the first solid portion of it.
Why not? That was
because
weird.
Triple H and Kurt Angle are pissed at each other, so they're fighting before The Rock even gets a chance to enter.
I see.
They're fighting. Triple H goes to hit a pedigree on Kurt Angle on the announce table, but the announce table gives way. And Kurt Angle knocks himself out.
Just knocked out for real. The table didn't break. It didn't break when it was supposed to broke too early.
Yeah.
So gravity became like
he was head first on the concrete.
You could see Kurt didn't know where he was. Kurt was in bad shape.
Triple H goes to grab the sledgehammer, and then The Rock's music hits. Crowd pops.
It was The Rock, dude.
So then you have this comedy of The Rock and. Because Kurt's taking on a stretcher for a little bit. He's kind of moved away for a little bit. You have The Rock and Triple H going back and forth. The Rock's getting in all his greatest hits here. Then Triple H goes and pulls Kurt off the stretcher and tries fighting him, but he ends up getting pulled to the back. Kurt Angle's in the back with Stephanie. We'll get to that in a minute. It's a lot of brawling. You can tell that they had to do this on the fly. A lot of brawling. But the third act is kind of set up with a superplex from The Rock to Triple H. Stephanie's talking to Kurt, and she's like, go out there and help Triple H win. And Kurt's like, anything for you, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Old Forrest Gump had ass. He goes out there, and we got the triple threat now. Triple H hits a pedigree, but Kurt Angle throws him out of the ring and goes for the pin instead. Triple H is hit with a sledgehammer, but not before Triple H punches Stephanie on accident.
Knocks her out.
Knocks her out cold. And then Triple H gets hit with the sledgehammer from Kurt Angle. And then Kurt Angle is tossed out of the ring. And Triple H is hit with the people's elbow by The Rock for the win. And he retains the WWF Championship. Four bells.
I gave it four bells.
I think this would have been five if Kurt Angle had
gotten hit. Kurt had stayed in there the whole and had it because this mismatch was like 40 minutes, 45 minutes.
This match was a schwapping 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
It felt longer.
20 minutes broken up into really two different matches.
That's true. Yeah. It felt longer. And the backstage action.
Yeah. I mean, it's four for me. Like I said, I'm sure if Kurt Angle was healthy, I'm sure it would have been higher up for me. But this just didn't cross that threshold.
No.
But good action.
It was, and Kurt Angle is a thug. Kurt Angle's
real champ for going back out there.
He's in my Mount Rushmore. He has to be.
I respect that.
I think I said him and John Cena are so far are up there.
Anyone else?
No.
Mount Rushmore holds four.
Yeah, and right now I can only really put in good faith. I can only put Cena and Angle up there.
Those are two really good ones on your Mount Rushmore.
I agree.
I have Guerrero.
Oh, obviously.
Benoit used to be, but obviously what he did, I can't have Mount Rushmore. I can't.
You can't separate the art from the artist.
I could, but every time you look at him,
you just think about it. His son. Oh,
they always look so much alike.
Just like
every time you look at Benoit, you think about what he did. So I couldn't put him as when I put someone on my Mount Rushmore. It's your in ring performance, it's your legacy.
So okay, he should be up there, then, I think.
His legacy is too tarnished.
Okay.
But Guerrero,
yeah.
Angle,
yeah.
Cena,
yeah.
Orton.
Those are your top four?
Top four.
I'm
Mysterio edges himself.
Oh, man. Yeah, I got it. We have reviewed more Triple H matches
than probably anybody.
Yeah. And he has some grinders out there. And DX, the generation that, come on. You know, whoa. Are you supposed to be Jamaican? Where's your accent? Remember that? Not.
Triple H is he gets a lot of crap, but I think he deserves a lot more credit for what he's brought to the table.
I agree.
Nonetheless, let's go ahead and hop into these awards.
Let's do our awards.
The match of the night, sir.
It's the tag team ladder match.
TLC.
The TLC ladder match.
Lock it in.
Clap. Click.
Worst match of the night.
Oh, man, I'm not going to even count the Cat versus Terry. I have to go with Taz versus Jerry the King Lawler.
I counted the match with the Cat and Terry, but if we weren't counting that 3-minute disaster, then I would also agree with you. It's yeah.
No, why do we call it the Kurt Angle? And the Kurt Angle Award goes to, first off,
the Kurt Angle Performance Award for the best wrestler.
Okay.
Bell to bell.
Bell to bell.
I give it to Kurt Angle.
You give it to Kurt Angle tonight? Mm-hmm. That's he
was concussed. He still came back out.
You could tell he was not right when he came out the second half, though, or something. My Kurt Angle Award. Shame
of man.
That dive alone, bro. Oh, man. That was something. That was, dude, it gave me goosebumps. There was someone here who we don't know, a friend of a friend who was in here who we don't know, who saw that part where he went, oh, I thought wrestling was fake. You can't fake that, you know. That's, yeah.
Next up, our Ryback Award for being a bitch. I give it to the Cat.
I'm not going to count that match. Man.
She was the least talented woman. If it wasn't for the Cat, it would probably be Road Dogg for raping X-Pac in the ring.
Okay. I look, I just don't like him. And I should. My Ryback of the night is the Underwalmer.
Oh.
He's the Undertaker. He's forever
Underwalmer. The Undertaker.
Yeah. That's my Ryback of the night.
Your New Jack spot of the night.
I don't think it needs any. We know. One, two, three. Mine is Shane falling off the 40-foot scaffolding.
Mine is Matt Hardy falling on those two tables.
That was something. Yeah.
It was just like I thought it was a really good shot. And if he would have been up two more rungs, he would have snapped his neck on the barricade. So
that's true. Ouch.
Oh, that's just mine, though. And then the My Hole Botch of the Night brought to you by Snickers. Kurt Angle's concussion.
Yeah. The My Hole Botch of the Night, I think.
The My Hole Botch of the Night brought to you by.
By Snickers.
Yeah, thank you.
With the Dick Dane.
Thank you.
Has to be the table giving away when it shouldn't have and getting Kurt Angle a concussion. That was terrible.
Thank you.
Jeez, that was something.
All around, sir, what are you giving this show?
The show, I do it mathematically. It's the only time I ever do it. I don't go off emotions. It's the only time I 3.2 bells.
I'm giving it a 3 flat.
3 flat. I only give it like, okay, so I'll round down if it's down. If I 3 flat for me.
3 flat.
3 bells.
Solid SummerSlam.
I'd watch it again.
I picked the SummerSlam randomly. I didn't look at the card. I just picked a random SummerSlam. We started watching it. Next week, we're going to do the same thing.
So, all right. When did they start exactly? It was 87,
88. And we've already watched those.
Okay.
We've already watched 88 through 91. And then we watched, obviously, 2000. We watched 2001 already. And then we've watched, like, 2017. We watched, like, 2019 and 2020 and 2021.
Oh, we have.
Because we did those while they were live.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So we have 25 SummerSlams trying to cram in before we go to SummerSlam. So
not impossible.
Not impossible. Might not happen, but we're going to do it anyway.
May not happen, but it's not impossible.
Nonetheless, this has been the No Disqualifications Podcast. I'm Adrian.
I'm Laszlo.
Check us out. Make sure you give us a follow on all of our socials. We already told at the beginning of the show, make sure you leave us a 5-star on every possible reviewing system you can. And if you don't, screw you.
No. If you don't, it's cool too. Just listen to us. No,
we'll go ahead and share this too.
Share
it with
too.
Your family. Put it in your brain. But once again, I'm Adrian.
I'm Laszlo.
Chica-chica.
One love.